My name is Lance Smith.
And you're listening to
Patience and Hustle.
Patience and Hustle.
Daily podcast. Where I give you actionable tips to help you find your voice. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Patience and Hustle Daily podcast. I have a special guest today, David Bradley. Read a little bit about David. David is a sales and marketing manager for Grant Cardone Training, founder of Rich Man's Gym, and author of How to Stop Smoking Without Killing Anyone. The word there is without killing anyone. So David, thank you so much for joining today.
Oh man, so really awesome to be here. Thank you for having me. I always love getting to chat with you.
Yeah, absolutely, anytime. And I've met David through really the whole 10X thing, just kind of getting connected through Grant Cardone's programs and books and everything and networking with his people. And so great guy. David, if you could just kind of tell a little bit about your background.
Yeah, man. My job title, if I handed you a business card, would be sales and marketing manager with Cardone Training Technologies. I got started with Grant back in 2011. After following Grant since 2003, when I first started following Grant, I was in the car business. We'll talk a little bit more about goals and stuff later, but I had some lofty goals and aspirations and things I wanted to have in my life that weren't real. And I recognized that getting into sales could be an avenue to creating a future that I really wanted. Needless to say, when I first got into sales, there wasn't a lot of training and support. So I was kind of left to my own devices. So for the first 9 months in the business, I sold just enough to not get fired. And then consequently, I landed on some of Grant's training, started studying his material every single morning in the car on the way to work, listening to it again on the way home. And then on my days off, I deep dive into some of it. 9 months after that, I was doing 30 cars a month selling cars.
Dang, man.
So that became a pretty common thing for me. I got into management about 9 months after that. So within probably 36 months of being in the car business, I was in management, building internet departments and that sort of thing. And then in 2000 into 2010, Grant Hell holds a social media contest that I entered. And for me, I wanted to enter the contest because I wanted to say thank you to Grant for helping me build a career. And then additionally, we may wind up talking about this later too, but you know, Grant's example gave me a lot of encouragement and empowerment to finally get sober. So in 2007, I was able to put down drugs and alcohol for the last time, haven't touched any of that stuff since. So when Grant runs this social media contest, I'm thinking, man, this is a great opportunity for me to, if I win the contest, I'm going to get to meet him. And I really want to say thank you for everything he's helped me with. So I said, well, how do I win the contest? And I thought, well, okay, I should hit this thing so hard that when I'm done, they offer me a job.
Yes.
Right. And that was the strategy to win the contest. I really had no intention. Like it just, you know, so long story short, I win the contest. I go to get the prize. We're having lunch. And at the time, the VP of the sales of the company says, so you ever thought about working with us? And so I start cracking up, right? And they're like, what's so funny? I said, well, funny, you know, this was my strategy all along. So yeah. And then, you know, fast forward to today and now I'm on your podcast.
Dude, that's an awesome background. I've never heard your background story on that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, never have. Now, I've seen like early videos of Grant's like behind the scenes training stuff when you guys were in like this super small office out in California. And I see you over there in the corner and just, you know,
right,
making phone calls and stuff. But yeah, I've never heard the backstory about how you got there.
Yeah, that was almost 10 years ago and 20 pounds ago and a different hairstyle.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, kind of my first question here about setting goals, because coming into 2020, you know, everybody just like, you know, they want to set new goals for themselves. I want to set new goals for myself. So just want to get like maybe three pieces of advice that you kind of have on setting goals.
Yeah. I'm going to give you three and a bonus.
Yes.
Number one is any goal that you set should be written down in present time or present tense, as if it's happening. you don't want to put yourself in by saying, I want, or I wish I had, or you don't want any wishing or wanting, because that's typically what will come back is just more want, more wish, and no reality. So Grant spends a lot of time talking about being the cause of why things happen, not the effect. And when you wish, when you hope, when you want, you're being the effect, not causing what you want to happen. So anytime you write a goal down or set a goal, you should set it as if it's happening. And when you look at the big picture stuff, that's what the universe understands. There's no time. The only place time exists is here on planet Earth. And our concept of time only exists here on planet Earth. If I go to Mars, a year is different on Mars, right? Or anywhere, okay? A day on the moon is a different set of everything. So time doesn't really exist, universally speaking. So the only thing that the universe is going to understand is now. So you want to speak in the now. So that's the first one. You need to write it down at least three times a day. Grant, I started listening to his content, as I mentioned earlier, in 2003 or 2004, and then didn't really start taking this piece of advice until 2007, which is when I got sober. I started writing my goals and dreams down every single day. And when you start digging around in YouTube and you start paying attention to Grant, you're going to hear him say things like write up first thing in the morning, right as you go to bed. And then the third time is anytime you have a setback. Right. So just to refocus on your goal, because you have a choice at that point, is you can crap out or you can just refocus and get back on the horse and start going for it. So once in the morning sets the tone for the day. At night before you go to bed, give your subconscious something to work on. Right. And then anytime you have a setback. So that's number two. The third one is it needs to, almost has to come from a place of gratitude. And it needs to be with feeling. So putting all of that into practice, in 2007, I started writing down every single morning, every single night, with purpose and feeling and with gratitude. I am so happy and grateful to be living in a rustic seafaring home on the water on the central coast of California. So gratitude. I would say it with feeling. I would then imagine what that would be like, right? Let that feeling come into me. It's in present tense. And I would do that every single morning at the start of my day. I would do it at night. And then I didn't really get onto the setback part until years later. But that was my ritual. And I started that in 2007. So in 2013, guess what happened?
What happened?
I moved to the Central Coast. I live in a rustic seafaring home on the water on the Central Coast of California. So, and that just, right, that just becomes ultimately it doesn't just manifest. I mean, I busted my ass to get here, right? There was a lot of physical things involved, but by setting that tone and putting it out there consistently and by writing it down, you're beginning and continuing the process of creation. The bonus round that I want to give is for anybody that's writing goal, like when you start looking at setting goals, having goals, writing goals down, there needs to be, this is where the rich man's gym piece comes into it. You need to make sure you're covering all three things, the body, the mind, and the spirit. And the body just means, by that, I just mean the physical plane or the physical universe. So you want to set goals that have something to do with not just I have $1,000 or $1 million or $10 million or whatever number you want. You need to set goals that work on the physical, the mental, and the spiritual.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. I really love that, especially the third thing you said about how you should, you know, it should have some feeling, some actual meaning behind it, with like gratitude, feeling that purpose, feeling and gratitude. I think that's really important. I think sometimes people just write things down thinking, well, if I just write it down, you know, it's going to magically happen. But I like what you said. Also, it's like, it's not just going to manifest. Like, you've got to work towards it. Right. Writing it down keeps you kind of focused on it, but then you've got to actually work towards those goals. So that's really awesome.
Well, and that, you know, that focuses on universal laws, you know.
Yeah.
And if you look at any ancient text, any story of creation, it always starts with a thought.
Yep.
Right. And if we just, you know, if we just stick with the Abrahamic religions for a moment, you know, it was dark and God's like, hey, it's dark in here.
Let there be light.
Boom. Okay. So thought, creation. So you have, it's everything starts with a thought. Thoughts are powerful. They're energy. And you can even measure it, right? If you do a brain scan, you can see people thinking. So like there, it's giving off energy. So be very cognizant of what kind of energy you're putting out there, you know? And so if you are putting your goals out with feeling what that's going to be like, and with gratitude, and also knowing that it exists somewhere already.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I love that. So kind of leading into this next thing, I think a lot of people have the wrong mindset, because a lot of people believe that you shouldn't set goals too high, because then you're just setting yourself up for failure. And I kind of want to know your thoughts on that, because I hear this from a lot of people and even businesses. They're like, hey, we don't set our goals too high because we don't want to set ourselves up for failure. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, for anybody that's in that place of mind, I'll ask a question with the utmost respect, but how's that working out for you?
That is the question.
You know, like just, and I get it. So the follow-up question to how's that working out for you is, who taught you that? And where did it come from? Because you're really like, if you think back when you were 6, did you have any limits? Did you set any goals? Did you ever like come up with something and you'd be like, maybe I should back that up a bit. That's just a bit too, you know, like what I think about, you know, and I've talked about this where with other folks before, but I forget how old I was. I was under 10, that I can guarantee you. But, you know, a family member said, hey, Davey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? And I'm like, you know, I want to play second base for the Dodgers and I want to be an astronaut. And they're like, well, you can't do both. You got to pick one. You know? And so like, so when I say, you know, who taught you that? And that's a mindset that I've had to unwind. Didn't even realize I had it for many years. So it's like, who taught you that? You know, setting yourself up for failure. If you're going to fail either way. Let's just assume that, right? If you're going to fail either way, what goal do you want to fail at going for? You want to set a goal to have $100 million in liquid assets in your bank account that you can access at any time? Do you want to set a goal where you have $150,000 in passive income and then go for that? Miss it, but still wind up with 30 grand coming in every single month passive? Or do you want to set a goal for, man, if I just had 10 grand a month in passive income? Because then you start using those words, if I just, and then you limit yourself and you limit your entire potential. And if it's been done by somebody, why not you? Everything that's ever happened, everything that's ever been hit, goal. Like if you look at, you know, we did, Grant talked about this in a strategy of the week a couple of weeks ago, where like if, what's the guy's name? I'm going to butcher it, but Eliud Kipchoge, I think, the guy, he ran a marathon in less than 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dude's, yeah, right. So that means the guy is pacing. His mile is 1 minute faster than the world record for the mile. And he did 22.4 of those, or 26.4, excuse me. So like, that dude's really fast. But you know what's gonna happen now? Because the same thing when that guy broke the 4 minute mile, everybody started doing it.
Yep.
And so, and that one's kind of cliche, but this one's new and up to date. So I promise you, within the next year, you're gonna see 5 or 6 dudes bang out a marathon in less than 2 hours.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because now it's possible. So the advanced performers, once they recognize it's possible, they go do it too. And then to everybody else, it's in average and midline, they can make, well, now it's doable. Everything's impossible until it gets done.
Yeah, that's a great quote. And I absolutely agree with that. But yeah, good stuff there. I love the questions that you would ask, because I mean, that's definitely important, especially like where it was, like who taught you that? And that's something I've had to kind of think of, you know, like anytime I say something that's limiting myself, I'm like, where did I learn this from? That was something I learned from Grant as well. It's like
right.
kind of unteaching yourself from what you've learned. And so I think that's really important. That's where a lot of people get hung up, is they get stuck because they have the wrong information. And, you know, you and I, it's our job to get them the right information.
Right. So like everything that you have right now, everything that I have, anybody that's listening, whatever you have right now, it's literally a direct result of the thoughts, decisions, the thoughts you've had, the decisions you've made, and the actions you've taken. So that's all that is. And once you just assume full responsibility for your thoughts, your decisions, and your actions, then that puts you in a position to start creating your reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And so along with that, you know, you kind of touched on like what you should pick for your goals, talking about, you know, the mind, body, and spirit. How do you, or if you do, like, how do you go through and kind of prioritize like what you're going to focus on in those goals? Like, do you prioritize anything, or do you just focus all on, of it like at once? Like, how do you do that?
So when I think about what I want to create, I also try and think about what is going to do the biggest benefit for the most people. So I've always found that the true purpose is found in the service of others. So if somebody is trying to figure out, well, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I doing? You know, like you should just like pause on that for a second and go help somebody. You know, so, you know, we talk a lot about sales. This is the Patience and Hustle podcast, right? So like mm-hmm. that means most likely the people that are listening to this are either to some degree in sales, entrepreneurship, right? Artists looking to grow their profession. So anytime you're like, man, what am I doing? Why am I here? What am I doing this for? This is bullshit, right? Anytime you get there, mm-hmm. just go find somebody and help them. And that could be paying it forward at Starbucks. That could be, you know, buying lunch for a homeless dude, or going up to somebody else in your profession, like if you're in sales, and go, hey, what deals are you working right now? Let me make a phone call for it. Let me do a manager call for you, or let me do, so how can I help you get a deal? You haven't sold anything in 2 weeks. You're about to give up on everything. Go help somebody else. Totally counterintuitive, but it gets you out of you. So it positions you, and I just went off on that tangent, but the reason I'm saying that, so when you have your, when you're looking at setting goals, they need to be purpose-driven, and they need to be higher than, more than you. And so we talked about a little bit about Rich Man's Gym. We talked a little bit about my book, How to Stop Smoking Without Killing Anyone. And one of the things that helped me stop smoking and stay that way was realizing that I need to do this for something bigger than me. Because if I'd have loved me enough at that point to stop smoking, I'd have done it already. But it was very clear that I'm on this very slow, passive aggressive suicide attempt. Right? So it's clear I don't love myself enough to stop smoking on my own. I need to do it for either someone or something that's bigger than me. And so that gave me this really large life lesson. So like, if you're lacking motivation, then you're just, your purpose is off. You're only doing it for you versus how many people can I help? How many people can I serve? And is what I'm setting up or shooting for, does it do a large amount of good for a whole lot of people? So, and you know, just from on a personal example, like if I have a target, like I want to have a certain amount of clients that I serve with Cardone On Demand and Cardone University, which is our online training program. If I want to have a certain amount of clients, then I know that that means if each one of these companies has, you know, X amount of salespeople, and I know that in every company I reach out to, there's at least one guy like me when I first got started, just waiting for somebody to come and give them the answers and the solutions that they need so that they can have their career and they can have their purpose. And so, you know, how many companies can I get in front of and help that ultimately leads to that person in that company getting exactly what they need to build a career? And then that ripples out, right? And then I get a phone call from a dude up in Canada like 5 years ago that was like, hey, man, I didn't even know if I was going to have a place to live, more or less a tree to put in my living room and presents to put under it come Christmas time. But because of your training and Grant's help, you know, I've got the place now, I've got the tree, and I got the presents. So like when you get that phone call, you're like, okay, it was all worth it.
Yeah, that's absolutely, absolutely true. I've found, you know, because I love that, because I've found like it does something psychologically when you step out of your way to help somebody, especially like you said, like in the workforce, like when you're not making any sales and you just go and you make a phone call for someone else, it does something. Like you said, it stimulates something. And, you know, for me, like a creative stuff that I do, like sometimes I'll reach out to somebody and be like, hey, what do you need? Like maybe I could do something small for you and I'll just do something real quick. And then all of a sudden it like sparks creativity and imagination. And because you're kind of, like you said, breaking out of yourself and out of your like, that's a stagnant place that you're in. And it's something magical. Like I try to tell people that same thing. Like when, if you're like quote unquote stuck, like stop doing something for you, go do something for someone else, because it'll immediately just like knock you out of that place of just stagnation in what you're doing.
I mean, even scientifically, I mean, you're talking about when you do a good deed for somebody else or you give to somebody else without any expectation of reciprocation, just the giving releases all kinds of like really kick-ass hormones. Like there's dopamine gets fired off, oxytocin gets fired off, like all, yeah. You know, all these different things start going nuts inside your body, and that positions you to be more open to what's there. Because it becomes so easy to just get trapped and stuck like with blinders on, you know, and that's, you know, right out of Grant's book, Sell or Be Sold. It's like, it's, there's a whole chapter on it. Service is senior.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So those are kind of the main questions that I had. What other tips or anything on goal setting or tips on like sticking to your goals, like anything else that you'd like to give on that?
Well, so In the beginning, I talked about the importance of writing it down twice a day.
Yep.
But that also means that you're writing it down every day, twice a day. Out of sight, out of mind, you know? And the idea that you should just write your goals and dreams down, you know, once a year, you know, if you look at the word resolve, I just talked about this recently. You know, it's RE, and then solve, SOLVE. RE means do over. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So RE means to repeat, you know, do over and over and over. So if you solve, in that case, like solve a problem. So if you have something that you're trying to create in your life, and you make a resolution, root word being resolve, okay? You make a resolution to do that. The very word demands that you do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So only, you know, making a resolution once a year, I mean, you're just, you're literally going against the word itself. You got to do it every day. You need to make your resolution and resolve to go after whatever it is you're after frequently, consistently. We say twice a day.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to keep it on your mind at all times. So that way, you know what you're shooting for every day. And so kind of my whole thing, the whole idea behind Patience and Hustle, it's not you know, some people think patience, like, you know, I'm simply going to just write down once I'm going to have a Ferrari and then it's going to happen. That's not really how it works. The hustle part of it is working every single day, knowing that in time I'm going to have that Ferrari. It's the same with, like, you know, with grants, you know, real estate stuff. You put money into real estate, you're not going to make $1 million off of it. And, well, I mean, you maybe could if you sell it, but, you know, that the idea is it takes time, but you're still working deals. You're still doing stuff every single day while building that up. And so that's the whole idea behind patience and hustle, is having the patience, knowing it's not going to happen immediately, but still working every single day towards it. And so that goes with writing the goals down every day, staying focused on it, knowing it's going to happen.
Do you read, have you read anything by Wayne Dyer?
Wayne Dyer, I have not, but I'm going to write it down. Any suggestions?
Yeah. In his book, The Power of Intention, he says that infinite patience produces immediate results.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. And coming from, you know, working for a company that has, you know, a plaque on the wall that says speed is power.
Yeah.
And we're in a hurry to help people. It creates quite the dichotomy.
Yep.
And so I think where people misinterpret patience is that it implies that you do nothing.
Correct.
And that you wait for something to happen. And that's not what patience is about at all. It's about having a sense of knowingness that you're creating something and that you're assuming that you do the correct daily actions to create what that is. And you do that at a massive level. So when we talk about goals, that means that it's very, very important that we tie whatever the, you know, Grant's got that great quote about have goals so big your problems pale in comparison.
Yeah.
Right. So you want these big goals. And we were, you know, we mentioned that earlier with, you know, don't set your goals too high. You know, we would say in contrast, set them so big that whatever little BS you got going on in your world right now doesn't mean nothing. It's, you don't even have time for it.
Yeah.
Because you're going after this big, big thing. So, but you have to tie that into daily activity. So an easy example was when I was selling cars, I would write that big, fat, juicy goal and dream down, which at that point I thought was a pipe dream, right? There's no way that's happening. But I just committed to it and I stayed committed to it. But when I was in the car business, I would attach to that, begin from the end. So I'd start my day already feeling gratitude for selling two cars today. So I go into work. I'm so happy and grateful that I live in a rustic seafaring home on the water on the central coast of California. Today, I'm going to talk to 8 people. I'm going to go on 6 test drives. I'm putting 4 people on paper and I'm selling 2 cars. Right. And so I would think about, as I'm walking into work, how I want to leave work.
Ooh, that is good. That is real good.
Like, how do you, I mean, your day is going to end either way. How do you want it to end?
Yeah. Man, that is the quote of the day right there. I love that. I'm stealing that and putting it somewhere. I'm just kidding.
Take it. It's all yours.
Okay. I got it. It's on recording. You hear that? I make $1 trillion off of it. I'll give you a percent.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Awesome. So David, yeah, man, that's all the questions I have. Thank you so much for, you know, hopping on.
Thank you for having
me. My listeners, where can they follow you and get connected with you? You know, if they're looking for that same training that you got, or if they're looking for fitness tips, goals, any of that, where can they contact you?
Okay. Yeah. So I'll just run down. I've got a blog that I manage called Cardone Solutions, where it's all things Grant Cardone. You can find me on the Twitter @David R. Bradley. Same thing on the Instagram, the gram, as the kids are calling it today. And then I've just started doing the Cardon Solutions podcast, which is a lot of fun, where I take a lot of Grant's free content. I wouldn't call it repurposing per se. I just put my interpretation on it, discuss it, what I got out of it, blasting that out. That's over on the Anchor, and that's just Cardon Solutions. If you want more information on, so Rich Man's Gym is about strength and conditioning for body, mind, and spirit. And I don't think you need to go to the gym to get in the best shape of your life. You should be able to do that in the backyard. You can do it in the garage. You can do it, you know, anywhere, right? And so there shouldn't be any limit on you getting in the best shape of your life or being dependent upon going to a traditional cookie cutter gym to do that, right? So, and there should be more to it. And so I talked a little bit about, you know, my own sobriety quest, and part of that was strengthening the body. And I knew that the stronger my body got, the stronger my mind had to be. And the stronger my mind got, that the stronger my spirit would get. So I used to have these little games I'd play with God when I was lifting heavy weight, which would be like, okay, I'm going to push, you pull. And so, and that helps with that connection. And so Rich Man's Gym is just about you becoming stronger and becoming more conditioned on not just the physical, but the mental and the spirit as well. And that's a blog. You can go to richmansgym.com for that. And then if anybody's looking to finally kick any habit, so we're going to use smoking cigarettes as the metaphor, but any habit you need to get rid of, there's a process that has to, that you have to go through. And that book, How to Stop Smoking Without Killing Anyone, takes you through the process of how to kick a habit. And we're just going to use cigarettes as the metaphor. So if you smoke cigarettes and you want to stop, the first thing I'm going to tell you is stop trying to quit. If you could have quit it, if you could quit, you'd have done it already. But you stop, and whatever habit you want to stop, you stop all the time. It's just, can I extend the length of the stopping? And if you smoke cigarettes, I'll tell you right now, you don't have a stopping problem. You have a starting problem.
Ooh, that's big.
Yeah, right? Because you stop every time you put one out. The problem is you starting back up again.
Oh, man. That's the mind switch. I don't smoke, but if I did, like, that'd be a breakthrough for me.
Right. Well, awesome. I mean, and just if you think about all the times that people can't smoke and don't. Airplane, yeah. Movie theater, restaurant, right? And so, like, you make a conscious decision to not have a cigarette for a given period of time. So you already know what you need to do, and you already know how to do it, and you're already capable of doing it. All you have to figure out now is how to handle that urge in that moment. And that's all that is. It's an urge. It's not a command. And it's a moment in time. It is not forever. And if you want to limit yourself and say, hey, I'm addicted and I don't have any power over this and it's not my fault, then fine, stay that way and enjoy cancer. Have fun with that. Yeah. But, you know, if that's not how you want to end up, if you don't want to feel like you just ran a 100-yard dash just trying to get up to take a leak, you know, there's some steps that you can take to take control back from nicotine or whatever habit you've given up your own choice control to. There's a way to do that, and that's what the book's about. And you can find that at stopdon'tquit.com.
Man, that's awesome. Thank you so much, David. Thanks again, man. I really wanted to bring you on. We've been in contact for a few years, and I've been meaning to do this for a while. I just now finally have the setup to finally do it like this. So,
yeah. But, well, thank you for having me, man. It's great to just sit here and chat with you and share wisdom. And yeah.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, we'll talk soon again, and we'll probably do some more of these in the future for sure. Come up with some fun topics to do. And
we got lots of material.
Yeah, we do. We got, there's plenty of material for us.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you for having me.